It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, December 21st. I'm Patricia Naft. Authorities arrested a 65-year-old man for allegedly threatening to blow up government buildings and making threats against Telluride school children. Law enforcement arrested Kenneth Joseph Krawchuk in Cortez Friday afternoon, according to the San Miguel County Sheriff's Office. Krawchuk allegedly called the Department of Agriculture in Denver, claiming he had dynamite and threatening to blow up government buildings and making general threats against school children in Telluride. Officials say the suspect, who's considered a transient, wasn't thought to be in the Telluride region at the time of the call. The courthouse was immediately evacuated after local authorities learned of the threat, and schools were placed on external lockdown, meaning classes continued, but law enforcement were present. Officials say after conducting sweeps of the schools, classes were allowed to continue, but the courthouse remained closed for the rest of the day. A grant will help preserve a ranch within the Uncompahgre National Forest. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
The Colorado Cattlemen's Agricultural Land Trust received $436,000 to conserve over 700 acres of the Galley Ranch. The grant comes from Great Outdoors Colorado. Eric Glenn is the executive director of the land trust.
That funding will be used to secure a perpetual conservation easement on the Galley Ranch, which is located just to the east of Nucla and Natarita on the southwest end of the Uncompahgre Plateau.
Glenn says the property, more than 1,000 acres, is one of the last end holdings within the Uncompahgre National Forest, and this is the final parcel of it to be preserved.
What also makes this ranch unique is the heritage, and specifically the family heritage. Three generations of the family are actively engaged in the agricultural operation on the ranch, and we're seeing less and less of that in Colorado.
The ranch is in a part of Montrose County that's historic range for the threatened Gunnison sage-grouse. The Galley family plans to continue allowing public access on the land through youth agricultural education and hunting. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Budgets across the state were passed by towns and counties last week. One town is investing big to get things done. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Balancing revenues and expenditures can be tough, especially with large municipal projects. The town of Cedar Edge, for example, is putting half of all of its expenditures towards one project, a new wastewater treatment center. Kathleen Sickles, the town administrator, says that most of the multi-million-dollar project was covered by grants.
We have close to $4 million in grants and a $1 million loan, and a lot of these funds are coming from Department of Local Affairs, the Small Communities Grant, and then some of the smaller grants that we received as well.
The project is a huge undertaking for a town the size of Cedar Edge, and it was state-mandated. The wastewater lagoons couldn't treat certain chemicals, like phosphates, and the treated water was being pumped into fruit growers' reservoir, which is now harmed. The EPA told them they had to shift operations and instead release into Surface Creek. They also gave Cedar Edge a deadline of 2018. Thankfully, the town was prepared.
We had planned to make this wastewater treatment facility over 10 years ago. We were already in the planning stage. And at the time, the cost of the $4 million, $5 million plan, including engineering, seemed absolutely astronomical. However, putting all the pieces together little by little was very critical.
With half of the town's budget going towards this, they plan on finishing the new plant a year before the deadline and under budget. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
The city of Montrose recently approved giving $50,000 towards a new rodeo arena. The Daily Press reports that the city council's vote was unanimous after hearing testimony from community leaders and rodeo riders. The $50,000 grant will only go towards engineering and designing the facility, which has an estimated construction cost of $8 million. It's expected to hold 4,000 people. Montrose is currently trying to get a $2 million grant from the state's Department of Local Affairs. It takes a lot of energy to produce the food we eat, but technologies are improving to give some of that energy back to us after we've finished with it. As part of Inside Energy and Harvest Public Media's Feasting on Fuel project, Dan Boyce tells us about the potential fuel we are literally flushing down our toilets.
In case that was a little too cryptic, this is in fact a story about poop. Well, at least it starts that way. With a lot of it.
If you can picture 8 million gallons of what people have flushed down their toilets, that's what I'm smelling right now.
We're at Grand Junction, Colorado's wastewater treatment plant, staring down at a brown torrent of flowing raw sewage with the plant's manager, Dan Tonello. His facility has found a new use for some of that flow, the organic solid parts.
The solids from the toilets, solids from garbage disposals, from industrial processes.
The solids have been processed at the plant for decades, so they can be safely dumped at a landfill. And that processing produces methane, which the plant used to just burn off into the air.
Not good for the environment and a waste of a wonderful resource.
Yet with more infrastructure to further refine that methane, what you end up with is chemically identical to natural gas that's drilled from underground.
In the evening, when the trucks are done with their routes, they hook up, fill up.
Grand Junction has been replacing an aging fleet of garbage trucks and buses with natural gas vehicles, fueled mostly by the human-sourced gas from the treatment plant. Tonello says Grand Junction is the first city in the nation to do that.
We're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars a year being saved by implementing this process. And for a utility our size, that's significant money.
That's a model for small wastewater treatment plants anywhere in the country.
Joanna Underwood is the president of Energy Vision, a nonprofit dedicated to expanding the use of this renewable natural gas. It's a common sense way, she says, for cities to both save money and lower greenhouse gas emissions. And Underwood points out there's other sources beyond human waste. I met her in the ground floor restaurant of a Denver hotel, and she started walking among the tables, pointing them out.
Oh, lots. You're looking at people eating ham and toast and eggs. All of this is organic.
Natural gas from food waste. And right now, food scraps from restaurants are being collected, along with that from grocery stores and other food manufacturers all over Colorado's densely populated Front Range. In just a few weeks, it will all be heading up to northern Colorado. The Heartland Biogas Facility is in its final stages of construction. It basically does the same thing the plant in Grand Junction does, but on a much bigger scale, an enormous scale.
It's very unique. It's one of the largest in North America.
Bob Yost and his company A1 Organics are partnering with the facility to coordinate all that food coming in.
There could be 25, 30 semi-loads per day of food waste coming
in. And then the food is mixed together with...
And then the manure is added to that.
Manure from a local dairy. Turns out the best way to get the most natural gas from waste is to have a balanced diet of both food scraps and poop.
After they've created the renewable natural gas, it's injected into the pipeline, and then it's delivered to anywhere in the country.
The same pipelines used for fossil fuel natural gas. Joanna Underwood of Energy Vision, she says if all the organic waste in the country was gathered, current technologies could produce enough natural gas to replace about half of the diesel fuel used in the U.S. transportation sector. So not a replacement for the traditional oil and gas industry by a long shot, but Underwood argues practical solutions to climate change have to be assembled piece by piece.
One thing isn't going to do it, but for this sector, which in and of itself is big, it's not a small piece.
And it's a piece we can each individually contribute to. About 1 cubic foot of natural gas per day, if you were wondering. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
This story comes to us as part of a collaboration between Inside Energy and Harvest Public Media. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.